Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan, day two of what we will call our home show. I think that's a term that means something else in another industry. But basically, for us, it means I'm in my basement staring at my bobbleheads and a lot of my memorabilia. And Danny is in his laundry room staring at his washer and dryer.
Pretty much. That's the summary, my friend. And the bets are still on the board. You can place them with the Dar book or the Thommy book. I believe it's the Daria Hotel and Casino. And then Thommy's book as well. Which one of our family members, or, and I am including Fiona in that, makes the first noise that gets heard on air? It depends on your book. You can get pretty good odds, I think, for Fiona, being that she is a dog, and dogs don't quite understand things and bark at all sorts of random stuff. Or my toddler, Byron Kerr, who doesn't, again, get things and may just sort of penetrate some defenses and make a lot of noise. There's a chance that my oldest, Bill Rowland, you know, breaks through locks and just gets sick of it and tries to start watching cartoons or something like that on the television in the neighboring room. There's a lot of things on the board right now. We're just passing some time trying to have some fun.
If today's first 2 hours since I woke up or so are any indication, Fiona is feeling frisky today.
Oh, really?
She wants to be heard on the Grant and Danny radio program. There has been a lot of barking. So I don't know if today's the day. I know that the longer we play whatever game this is that we're playing right now, it's going to happen. And there might be no time like the present for Fiona. She's feeling a little rambunctious. She's been cooped up for too long. This one or two walk a day situation is not treating the French bulldog all
that
well.
Not enough. I've got Fiona, by the way, for the record. I mean, it's not a great value bet, but I think that's the most likely.
I think I do as well, but just to make a couple extra bucks, because I don't like just taking the favorites that don't pay out, I'm actually going to go with Bill Rowland, to believe it or not. I think he just at some point barges in and decides he's got to ask Dad a very important question. Maybe it's like how to work the Xbox,
right,
or how
right.
do I get the TV on or something. And the headset mic that's on Dad while he's talking about Tom Brady is not going to be a tell.
By the way, that's a great value bet, and here's why. Just passing the time, for people that know, if your kids are capable of walking and talking, this is a challenge, right? You can't just let them sit on devices all day long. You got to get them outside. You got to do a bunch of things, and everything is going to be a fight. Everything's a pain in the butt. But yesterday, as a reward for good behavior, we downloaded like a fun iPad app game. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog Racing or some kind of crap. But there have been 6.7 trillion questions from him to me in the interim. Basically, since we downloaded it, like, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do that? So that is a great thing. He's going to forget by about 10:45 that there's some protocols in place here and come barging in and ask me, how do I upgrade my afterburners?
Because sports have grinded to a halt, the expectation was we'd have nothing to talk about. That's not the case at all. Number one, the NFL rages on, and there's all kinds of great content out of the National Football League. Number two, we have changed our normal stance, which is kind of nuts and bolts sports as often as possible, to just kind of letting our hair down and having a little more fun anyway. So there's all kinds of things we'll cover today non-sports, including day two of our movie club. Last night, hopefully you watched Bad Boys 2 with us. Today we'll be picking a rom-com that you can enjoy perhaps with your wife or with your husband at home. A lot of the ladies hit me up on Twitter saying, hey, what about us? So we'll go rom-coms today after we break down our movie club, movie number two, Bad Boys 2 today at 12:45. But I should let people know, Danny, we got Sean Doolittle on the show at 11.
Nice.
He and his wife are raising money for one of the many important causes right now in this country to help people who need help during this coronavirus pandemic. And he wanted to come on today to try to get more funds raised and to see if he could tap into some of the Nationals who are able to help people and their fans. So Doolittle at 11 o'clock today, about 53 minutes from right now, to tell you what he's got brewing and how you can help him help others. That's coming up on G&D today right here on The Fan. But why don't we start with Tom Brady and yesterday's NFL news, the Redskins making a couple of small moves as well. But Brady, Danny, he of his 13 AFC championship games and his 9 Super Bowl appearances and his 6 Super Bowl rings and his 4 Super Bowl MVPs, you know, he and Belichick, the first coach and quarterback to ever spend 20 years together, 249 wins between the two of them combined together over all these years, more than 100 more than any coach and quarterback. Their marriage is ending. You know, they were the mother and father down the street that everyone looked to and tried to pattern themselves after. That was the couple that was going to have the 50 and the 75-year anniversary party, and they are going their separate ways. The Patriots having won 16 of the last 17 AFC East crowns, the only year they didn't when Brady tore his ACL in the first weeks of the season. 20 seasons for Brady, comparing him to the 93 seasons of sports for the Bucs, Rays, and Lightning in Tampa Bay. 6-2 in favor of championships, 17-12 in favor of division titles. He is headed to the Bucs. Surreal is the word, man. I see these pictures of him, and it looks like almost bad editing online from some Madden franchise years ago. I don't know how to describe it, but I never had him going to Tampa in the office pool.
It came up quick, didn't it? I mean, it went from, you know, what makes sense, where are some of the places where, you know, hey, you'd want some pizzazz, thinking Las Vegas, right, where you've got one star in Gruden and add in a second star in Brady to add some juice to the city. Then you think maybe, you know, football fits, right, where you're thinking maybe Chargers, maybe the Colts could use something like this. You'd think, of course, New England, which is the best fit, honestly, still probably is the best fit. But once it became clear that he was leaving, I think Tampa Bay, this is the sense I have, GP, just reading what I did last night. There are no reports on this, but just kind of the feeling I have is that I think they're sitting there figuring out, Tampa Bay, what are we going to do? Are we going to go one more year of Jameis Winston? Are we going to trade for somebody? Are we going to sign a Teddy Bridgewater? What's the plan? And I think somebody probably piped up and said, what about Tom Brady? And then they went, no. And then they said, well, wait a minute. What about yes? Maybe we could do that. Look what we have. We can franchise tag Shaq Barrett. We have this incredible set of weapons on offense, 2 excellent tight ends, 2 receivers that scared the bejesus out of any defensive coordinator, the best offensive mind maybe in the sport, or top 5 certainly, in Bruce Arians. Maybe this does make sense for us. Maybe we are close. And then I think it went from idea to let's do this damn thing really, really quickly. That's the sense I have.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you're right that most people didn't think he was leaving, and if he was going to leave, it was only going to be the Titans.
Yep.
And then if you wanted to get real cute, people would say the Raiders because they need a star going to Vegas, or you know, the Chargers, he's a California guy, and he's got many interests outside of football, and he's a celebrity and an icon, so L.A. Tampa just never really came up. I mean, it feels almost like Jordan to the Wizards, like you just pulled a team out of a hat. And that's where one of the greatest players of all time had to go. That's kind of the vibe I get from him to the Bucs at this point. You ask why Tampa, I guess. I mean, a lot of people are. When you actually break it down and pull apart the layers, it makes some sense. Look, he's made $235 million, so he didn't need a huge payday. But the money equals respect, not cash that he needs to pay bills. And when they pay him top of the market revenue at $30 million a year, I think that resonated with him. He might have the best wide receiver tandem in the league to throw to, and Evans
and
Godwin.
One. Yeah, it's number one for me, I think.
I don't think there's a better one. I'll co-sign on that. You know, if Brate's back, you got Brate and Howard among the tight end duos in the league. That's as good as you're going to find as well. So that's 4 pass catchers who are every bit as good or better than most of the guys he's worked with in New England over the years. Their offensive line graded out top 10 at the end of last season, and they can still add to that. You talk about Evans, it's the tallest receiver he'll ever throw to. 6'5". You look at his best receivers, because he's never thrown to a 6'5 wideout. Welker 5'9", Edelman 5'10", Branch 5'9", Brown 5'10". all of a sudden you can throw some balls up for grabs. I just look at the fact that he'll protect the football, and it's going to give the Bucs a chance they didn't have before. Fifth lowest interception rate ever for Brady. Winston, highest interception rate of all time this past season when he threw 30 of them. I know their QBRs, their total QBRs were the exact same, and everyone's pointing to 53.7 for Winston, 53.7 for Brady. The big question is how much football does he have left? Because he wasn't great last year. There's no denying that. He took a step backwards, but how much of that was the talent around him or the lack thereof? How much of it was him running into a wall at 43? The fun thing is, must-watch TV, we're about to find out.
Yeah, we get to figure it out. I mean, you go back to 2017, he put up staggering numbers talking about Brady. And then those numbers started to dip in terms of completion percentage and, you know, yards per attempt and all the other things. And that coincides with his loss of talent. So this is a great debate. Now, it's easy to say a 43-year-old, his skills have diminished. I don't think there's any question. But he was never about athleticism, speed, strength, explosion, and the like. It was about precision. It was about accuracy. It was about ball coming out on time. I don't think that has gone away. So I think to expect him to be what he was last year, I think would be kind of a disappointment given the, you know, the way the rosters are set up. I look at Tampa Bay with all the weaponry that they've got. And I like Ronald Jones out of the backfield too, by the way, in addition to all the rest. I think he could put up numbers similar to what he did in 2017, maybe not being quite as good of a quarterback, if that makes sense. Just by getting the ball out to Mike Evans, to O.J. Howard finally utilizing him, and we talked about Godwin, I think the numbers could be really good without him maybe being as good as he was a few years ago, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Brady threw for 1,000 less yards and 9 fewer touchdowns than Jameis Winston did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians' offense, and we could talk about what kind of fit it is for Brady in a minute, because it's very much downfield and vertical, and Brady's more of a dinker and dunker and a short passer to backs and tight ends, so we'll see how that marriage works. But I'm with you. I think if he puts up another 24 or 5 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, that would be a huge disappointment, and they're not going to run the ball well enough for that to hold up and make the playoffs. But my guess is that he puts up much better numbers in a much better scheme in terms of just quarterback success with better weapons this year. Why do you guys think Brady left? Answer that question next, 800-636-1067. Why did he end what was such a wonderful thing for so long? And then the next question, and we'll answer this next, Danny, is do you think the Bucs make the playoffs this year? There's one extra team in the NFC that will get in. Could it be Tampa Bay in a division with the Saints, who are so good, with the Falcons, who should be competitive? 800-636-1067. Plus, Phil Rivers on the move to the Colts, and the Redskins added a couple linebackers, including one of the true mensches in the National Football League. We'll get into all of that as we continue. We're just getting started. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The latest on Cam Newton and whether or not the Redskins could be a fit at the bottom of the hour at 10:30. Before you just dismiss the possibility outright, which is what you and I mostly did yesterday because it doesn't make sense financially to acquire him at his cost in a trade, understand that the speculation now is that the Panthers might just release him outright in the next couple days. If they can't get a trade that they like for Newton, they would cut him. And at that point, you could sign him for anything.
Yeah.
And teams like the Redskins or, say, the Chicago Bears would suddenly be in much more play for Cam Newton than they would have been otherwise. So we'll get into that at the bottom of the hour. Got to get some thoughts on the newest Redskins linebackers as well. I love Thomas Davis as a human being. I have no idea how much football he's got left, but he's just one of the greatest dudes in the league over the last bunch of years, former Walter Payton Man of the Year, so we could talk about that. But the question right now is Tom Brady. Why did he leave New England? Will the Bucs make the playoffs? 800-636-1067. Danny, why don't we start with why'd he leave? You know, we talked yesterday about the fact that maybe he just wants to prove he can do it without Bill Belichick. Maybe he just wanted a little attention and juice and to be paid what he always thought he should have been. It's just strange that this late in the game, he's decided, it almost feels like you've been through all the fights, you hung out together for the kids, you stayed together for like 20-plus years, now right. You're 64. It's not like you're going to be dating hot and heavy anymore. You might as well just stick it out for the end run here.
Well, from New England's perspective, every other team that's done this, I don't say every other team, but when you've got a legend, you got a surefire, first ballot, Hall of Famer, Pantheon quarterback, think the 49ers, think the Green Bay Packers, right? They've always had a guy waiting in the wings, whether it was Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera. New England is quarterback shopping. They're like the rest of us peons, like the rest of us dregs that are in that quarterback market now. They had nothing but security for two decades, and they opted against it. I think ultimately, though, this was about Brady, and it started, remember, a couple years ago with Belichick banning his Alex Guerrero, that snake oil salesman that says you can't eat tomatoes, whatever the hell the guy does that makes Tom Brady feel good about himself so he could still play at age 43. I think some of those rifts started, right, where there's a lack of appreciation or there's a lack of, you know, kind of the boot kissing, right, that you would expect from a guy that has done everything right his entire career, right, is when your best player is also your hardest worker, you got a chance to be something special. And that's kind of what New England's been. And Belichick and company have taken away player after player after player and just kind of brought in new faces on the cheap to sort of replenish that system. And they've won 12, 13, 14 games a year. And I think Brady has wanted his praise and has wanted that sort of, you know, the acclamation. The fans have given it to him, right? Every talking head will tell you how
the adoration is
the greatest,
right,
of all time. Yeah, that's what he wants. I think he's wanted that, are you proud of me now, Dad, kind of a thing. And I think he finally got tired of it. I think he finally said, you know what? I'm going to go and prove it to you. He doesn't need to prove it to anybody on NFL Network or anybody on ESPN. Everywhere he walks, there's just an image of the GOAT, right? And everyone will tell you he's the greatest of all time because he won the number of Super Bowls. But I think he wants to go prove it to Belichick. I think he wants to go prove it to the guys in the New England higher-ups, not Robert Kraft, who loves him, but everybody else, to say, it's not just your system. It's not just Bill Belichick. It's me. Watch this. You don't think I can do this anymore. Watch this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think, and I've always thought, that Belichick was more responsible for the Patriots' unbelievable dominance than Brady, albeit Brady was a key cog, clearly, and without him, Belichick would not have accomplished nearly as much. I just think if you've got to give credit to one of the two as being more influential, I'd go with the coach. If you tell me one of those two is going to win a Super Bowl in this two-year window Brady has in Tampa, I would just assume it's Belichick. Having said that, the Bucs are in better shape this moment, this second, right now, to try to go win than Tampa Bay. We'll find than New England, rather. We'll find out who New England brings in as its quarterback, who replaces Brady. I mean, if it's Andy Dalton, it's just hard to believe that they'd be able to win a championship. If right. It's Tua, I could even, though it's kind of sight unseen, not knowing what he is, maybe imagine them going on a magical carpet ride in his second season next year, something like that, if they were able to trade up with all their draft picks and get him. And I could see that a little bit more easily. But the question being, will the Bucs make the playoffs? Look, in the NFC next year, there's going to be an extra playoff team. Remember that.
Yep.
So now we're going from 6 to 7. That's going to help a lot. I think the 49ers get in. I think the Seahawks get in. The Rams probably have a chance to get in, 3 from the NFC West. So let's just say there are 3 NFC West playoff caliber teams. You go to the North. The Packers are going to be a playoff team. They were in the NFC Championship game this year. They're not going anywhere. That's 4. I don't think the Vikings will be as good this coming year as they were last year, so maybe at 10-6, losing some defensive pieces, trading Stephon Diggs, they take a step back. But if we're just looking for playoff-caliber teams, you put them into the pile, you'd say 5. The Bears were 8-8. They're certainly in the playoff mix with their defense. They're also trying to upgrade a quarterback, which is their weakness, so that would be 6. In the South, you've got the Saints, 7, and I would say the Falcons and the Panthers are both not playoff-caliber teams right now, so the Bucs would be 8. So just kind of going through the teams off the top of your head next year that are probably in the playoff mix, that's 8 teams, not counting the East. I would throw the Eagles in, 9, the Cowboys in, 10.
Yep.
That's basically 10 teams for 7 spots. Now, that's a pretty unscientific way to do it. But, yeah, they're very much with Tom Brady in the mix. They were 7-9 last year. They lost a lot of one-possession games. And if he protects the football, you could pretty easily see them making the leap from 7 to 9 or 10 wins and trying to vie for a division crown with New Orleans, depending on Breeze and the Saints. Let's go to Zach in Reston on line 1. 800-636-1067 is the number he called to join us. How you doing, Zach?
Good morning. I am totally killing my diet. I'm eating all carbs, breakfast burritos, frozen pizzas. I'm going to be gaining weight. So.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is a thing. I actually read a story about this yesterday, about what they're calling the Corona 15, I think it is. I'm like not rationing. My wife got all these snacks. Normally we don't have snacks in the house. It's been really bad. I'm just eating everything in sight, and I'm kind of down about some of the jobs that I don't get to go do and the sports not being around. So I'm with you, man. This is a rough time on the old diet.
between booze and carbs, I mean, we're all going to, yeah, it's not going to look good. couple quick things. So a couple narratives I've heard on Sports Talk Radio over the last day and a half or so is that why would Brady go to the NFC, being that it's more top heavy? I think more of the, so yes, there are more good, quote unquote, good NFC teams, but they have more flaws. I think Kansas City and also Baltimore are more of a hard wall. While there are less really good teams in the AFC, they're better teams.
I agree with that.
I think it makes sense to go to the NFC. Also, at the same time, I think the bar is lower for Brady to prove this was a good idea. All he has to get to is 9-7 or whatever the new math is, or I guess still for this year, 8-8. Belichick has to make the playoffs. Brady has a lower bar to show and to have this narrative post next year that he's still the GOAT or this and that. It's going to be much harder for Belichick. That's all I got. Thank you.
Appreciate you. No, I think it's a good call. I don't believe, Danny, I want to get your thoughts on this real quick. I don't think that just going, say, even 9-7 or 10-6 and then making the playoffs, that'll look good on him for sure. But that won't be enough in terms of the legacy to say he went to New England, because people are going to point to the fact, particularly if they don't win the division, at a time where we just added a third wild card team, if you get to the playoffs and then you lose in the first round, I don't think that's some massive win for Brady inheriting a club that's pretty good in Tampa Bay that was essentially being able to protect the football away from making it last year.
So you look at Tampa Bay, 7-9 over the last from last season. The Patriots under Tom Brady didn't have a single losing record once, right? They just didn't. I mean, Belichick and Brady, they were unbelievable. Their worst was 9-7 in his second year, and then the one time they had a fluky season where they didn't make the playoffs despite having 11 wins. So I guess my point is, if it's more, I agree with the call in the sense that in New England, they're going to go, you let a certainty, you let 12, 13 wins go out the door. And if you know, whoever the new quarterback is, let's say he's a disaster. Let's say he has a Winston-like season and we don't do what we've done for the last 20 years. How could you possibly do that? So I could see the perspective that maybe the threshold's higher for Belichick, but I'm with you on the Brady aspect of that as well, that that may not be seen as a huge win if they just are a wild card team and get bounced by San Francisco or something.
Yeah. Again, the threshold for being a playoff team is about to be lower than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. And I think that fairly or not, and I'd say fairly, will be held against the teams that kind of squeak in at 9-7, so to speak. A quick note, 106.7, the Fan's re-airing every game of the 2019 Nationals World Series run. Listen tonight at 6:30 for our special encore presentation. The first of all the games that they played, that wild card game where they were down 3-1 in the eighth inning, kicks off tonight to get started 6:30 every night. Starting this evening and moving forward, we'll play another game from the Nats postseason run in chronological order. So make sure you're listening 6:30 this evening, not just on the radio, but obviously via Alexa, Google Home, and on the radio.com app as well. Next, the Redskins added two linebackers yesterday, and there are rumblings that they could be in the mix for Cam Newton. You're listening to G&D on the... He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan. There was a time in radio where nobody being in their car is going to work probably meant we were in big, big trouble. And while this is not ideal for our field, like anybody's field, we're all in that boat together, there are a lot of ways to listen to the show as technology continues to win in 2020. So a reminder that obviously you can listen at home. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but on Amazon, Alexa, or Google Home, all you've got to do is ask Alexa or Google Home to play 106.7 The Fan on radio.com, and it will stream from your speakers. Of course, the radio.com app on your phone can be taken anywhere as you go for your walks or do whatever it is that you're doing in your house. Maybe a puzzle. Maybe a board game. Nobody knows, Danny.
No one knows right now. No one knows.
I need a poll from you, top of your head. I don't have a poll yet. Someone just said, where is our non-sports poll today to keep the doctor away? We don't have a poll up yet at Grant H. Paulson, so I'm going to post one right now. Danny, I need a poll from you.
Wow, okay. What's on my mind? What's on my mind? Here we go. I need to be able to populate the poll, obviously. So let's go to this. Best way to occupy your time at night. Best way to occupy your time at night. I will say Netflix. I will say video games. I will say news. And we need a fourth.
Why not?
So occupy yourself. People are going to have dirty minds.
I'm posting this poll right now at Grant H. Paulson. Best way to occupy your time at night. Today's non-sports poll. What about grazing snacks?
Oh, so instead of the Occupy, you're talking about just best thing to snack on, like while watching?
No, I'm saying that could be the fourth option. Netflix, video games, news, or snacking.
Yeah, go with that. There it is. That's a good fourth. That's a good fourth. Yeah, that's a good fourth.
Best way to occupy your time at night. It is available for you right now at Grant H. Paulson. Damn. You know, I'm the king of missing like one letter. I got to erase it now. I said best way to occupy your time a night. That's not going to
happen. Oh, for God's sakes. What sort of operation is this?
It's not the kind of operation we need. So you said Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix. Because some people are glued to the news and want to see like every terrifying, depressing, awful apocalypse story. Other people want to tune it out. And then there's different ways to kind of tune it. You know, what mind-numbing thing do you want to do?
I like it. It's available at Grant H. Paulson right now. Go vote our poll a day that keeps the doctor away, non-sports, each and every day. All right, let's real quick hit on the things the Redskins did do yesterday, and then we'll get into the Cam Newton storyline here in a moment. So as far as the moves they made, I wrote a piece in The Athletic that's coming out in just a bit, and what I basically said is they're hitting singles. I want them to swing for the fences. A lot of Redskins fans don't like trying to. They still think that free agency is evil and bad because you signed Adam Archuleta that one time. They forget that London Fletcher and Pierre Garçon and so many other great Redskins over the years were signed in free agency as well. We don't talk about those. We just make jokes about Albert Haynesworth and the guys that don't work out like Brandon Lloyd. That having been said, yesterday, a base hit to left field as they signed Thomas Davis. Now, Danny, he's uber old. He'll be 37 when the season starts. He did make 112 tackles for the Chargers last year. This is very specifically nothing more than you get what you can on the field, you see what he's got left, but a culture establisher. This is a 9-year Ron Rivera disciple, Carolina, who knows the program Rivera runs, wants to help him set that program up here. And so you bring in Davis, a former Walter Payton Man of the Year, one of the most respected players around the league, one of the truly good human beings in sports, and you say, hey, let's work on this locker room. Let's get this team to play Rivera ball, whatever that is. He knows, and he will implement it.
He wasn't great in San Diego. Damn it, I already did it. In Los Angeles last year with the Chargers. Now, that's not why he was signed. He's not signed to be a star, which he was at one point. Remember, he was part of that incredible linebacking tandem with Luke Kuechly. He was a great player for a long time. He's not that anymore. The words, the phrase, whatever you want to call it, is culture signing. That's what this is. So you can bring all the assistant coaches you want. You can bring all the Carolina front office guys, the secretaries, the Uber drivers, whatever. This is the best way to implement it. This is your lieutenant. This is your guy that's sort of the go-between from the coaching staff to that locker room to that defense. And I like that because you're not breaking the bank. You're not doing anything crazy. I don't know how much he's honestly going to play. I imagine we'll see him on the field some. But to me, this is a Thomas, we're going to get something out of each other, right? You're going to get one more series of paychecks. You're going to still play in the NFL. You just need to be the guy that reinforces what we're trying to get done here and set that bar of expectation. This is how you play Ron Rivera-style football. So, to me, that is a culture signing, and I'm all in favor of it.
Yeah, I texted somebody with the team, and I said, hey, any terms on this deal? And they said, this is a one-year deal. You know the drill. And you know what that means, basically. Like, he is here for this year to help set up shop for right. Ron Rivera. If they can get something out of him at linebacker, awesome. You know, if he plays some special teams, if he plays some on defense, great. It's not like he, as you said, statistically didn't make a huge impact, didn't do a ton outside of make tackles last year. But you could do a lot worse than play 16 games and make 112 tackles. And if he runs around and gets people to the ground a few times, in addition to just being a leader in the locker room, that's pretty good. The other guy that they signed is named Kevin Pierre-Lewis. You guys probably haven't heard of him, and that's okay.
He went
to Boston College. He's been in the league for 7 years. The Redskins will be his fifth team in 5 years. There's nothing wrong with signing guys who are pretty good on special teams, but that's basically what they did. There's nothing wrong with this. He's an undersized run-and-hit linebacker. I texted a buddy of mine who covered him in Chicago. Said he can shine if he has good players around him. Cannot be a featured guy. He's a core special teamer who committed a really bad roughing the punter penalty that quite literally cost the Bears a game in London. He said he had to start on a Thursday night against the Cowboys in December, and he flashed a ton, so that's what people will cite as his potential. Athletic, again, 28 years old, went to Boston College, but this is basically if he makes the team, this is a guy that's going to play on special teams.
Yep, and you need those. You need plenty of those. In fact, the again, as you said, there's nothing wrong with the part-time player. Doesn't break the bank, but is, you know, kind of a leader on teams. By all accounts, a solid guy. Kind of the John Bostic school, right? You if you're a pessimist, you go, why is he on his fifth team or whatever? Kind of the same thing for Bostic, right? Where he hasn't been able to stick anywhere, and you just go, A, maybe that's not the right fit, but B, you've got to populate the back end of your roster. So, you know, this may not even be a single. That's probably like a sacrifice bunt by the pitcher with one out already to get to two outs. But you still need to fill out your roster there, because you're going bargain basement shopping. Doesn't mean it's a bad signing.
Sean Doolittle joins us. He's got a venture. He's trying to raise awareness and raise money, and he and his wife are donating big cash to a cause. We want to spread the word for him, so we'll have him on coming up at 17 minutes at 11 o'clock here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. You can go to @GrantHPaulson and vote on the poll Danny just put together for you. We are asking you what the best way to spend your time in the evenings during this coronavirus stay-at-home situation has been for you. So you can go vote right now at Grant H. Paulson. Next, Cam Newton. Any chance the Redskins would kick the tires? Yesterday we said no way, he makes too much money. Now we're finding out that he might get cut, and you might be able to bring him in at whatever rate you negotiate with him. Does that change the game for the Skins? Would you even have interest in Cam Newton? We'll answer that question for you next on G&D. For a long time, whenever a big-name player became available, the first thought was, what about the Redskins as a landing spot? Because they were in the game of bringing in the huge-name players. Those days have gone away, and they don't really do that as much anymore, so we don't do the game anymore, should this guy go to the Redskins. But when Cam Newton is going to be traded by the Carolina Panthers or possibly released, the head coach of the Panthers, Ron Rivera, who had a good relationship with him, is now the head coach of the Redskins. His entire career in Carolina, he played for Ron Rivera. Rivera is essentially, Danny, he just moved to a different city, and he's just getting all of his old band members back together who live there. This is the scene out of Mighty Ducks where Gordon Bombay is skating around with the duck call. Quack, 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 quack. And all the ducks are now going to the mall in Minnesota to skate around the fountains. I mean, you've seen this movie scene in every single film where they, like, we have one last act together, and I got to take my team.
It's basically the Blues Brothers. You know,
right.
They're getting the guys together for one concert.
It's like in Armageddon, they go round them all up doing all their crazy activities. But you see this a million times, and that's what Ron Rivera is doing. Did you ever work for the Panthers? You now work for the Redskins. So I get the Cam Newton intrigue from fans. I really do. Not to mention he's been a league MVP. He quarterbacked the Panthers to the Super Bowl in an unbelievable 2015 year where he had 35 touchdowns and 10 picks. But you and I kind of poured cold water all over this yesterday because – he makes too much money.
Right.
You're paying Alex Smith over $20 million. You can't pay Cam Newton over $20 million, which is what he's got left on his deal, except that he might get cut. And if he gets cut, now all of a sudden, what is the market for Cam Newton? Could you sign him at $12 million for a season on a show-me contract? You know, would he take a little bit of a discount to reunite with Ron Rivera if, you know, there's some handshake agreement that he could compete for the starting job? Those are the types of things that started to be speculated about. Josina Anderson last night said regarding the Redskins as a potential destination for Newton, I'm told the team discussed it. Talks did not rise to the level of definitive interest at this time. More of a wait-and-see mode right now, observing Newton's market. Skins also like their young guys, too, per a source. There's one young guy.
The young guy, right?
I don't know who the other one is. But, look, no disrespect to Josina Anderson because she's a really good reporter and has had way more success in this business than most of us who have ever reported. I think this report, the wording of it, none of it makes any sense to me. And I'm not saying she's making anything up as much as I think she didn't have a lot, and this is what she just put out what she had, and here's what I mean. I'll go word for word through it, Danny. Mm-hmm. Regarding Washington's potential destination for Newton, I'm told the team has discussed it. What does that mean? Hey, are we interested in Cam Newton? Yes
nope.
or no? Raise your hands.
Nope, that's a discussion. Yeah.
If everyone said no, then that's a discussion, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Talks did not rise to the level of definitive interest at this time. A lot of caveats here. Definitive before interest. So you didn't even say level of interest. Definitive interest. So maybe they're interesting, but they're not definitively interested. What does that mean? At this time, meaning that could change at a moment. Mm-hmm. So you're really couching a lot of things. You're kind of putting these words in here because, well, this could change in a day. The interest might not be definitive. What does all that mean? more of a wait-and-see mode. Everyone's in a wait-and-see mode with all these players. That's what free agency is. That's what these trade rumors are. They're observing his market. So are 31 other teams. So are you, Danny. So am I. We're all observing his market at this point. And then it said they like their young guys. Again, there's a young guy in Haskins. So to me, I don't know what any of that meant. But here is what I will say. If he gets cut, I think they would have a lot more interest than if they had to trade for him. As for me personally, hard pass, I'm out. Cam Newton's had one great year and a lot of kind of average years. He didn't play but two games last year. He hadn't really been all that good since early on, midway through 2018. He is going to be in his 30s. And if I'm going away from Haskins, I'm not doing it to roll the dice on Cam Newton having his second really good year in a career that's now spanned a decade. So I would stick with Haskins and give him another shot before I rolled with Newton.
No, it makes sense. I'm more of a Cam Newton guy than you are. Now, I don't like his, you know, celebrating every first down like it's, you know, with a choreographed dance. But
I actually do like that part.
So, I know, we have opposite ends here. More as a player. I mean, if you just look at passing numbers, you're 100% right. They're not that impressive. In fact, they're not even good for the most part. But when you add in the football playmaking ability, a.k.a. you're averaging 6-7 rushing touchdowns.
But is that going to be going away? I mean, he is way less mobile than he used to be.
Yeah, this is where I'm going. It was 2 years ago he had 754 rushing yards, the most he's ever had in his career. That's less apparent now. 2 years ago, 488 yards. Last year before being hurt and banged up, you know, two carries for minus two, whatever the heck it was. Shoulder surgery, foot surgery. The reason I'm not interested is that, and it stinks. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he just got hit so many times. I think of, you know, how Shaq was in the NBA. The only way to stop him is to try to beat him up. And while he looks invincible because he's an ungodly specimen, right? You think of Shaq's broken fingers and different things where people were just hanging all over him and hitting him so hard. That's what's happened to Cam Newton. And if you just want to sign him up as a pure passer, you're going to be disappointed. But the overall football playmaker, he's more playmaker than he is quarterback. Same kind of, you know, the Josh Allen thing that you and I talked
about.
Perfect comp,
right. Josh Allen, we talked about yesterday. But my point is Josh Allen's got, I don't know, 7-8 more years of whatever he is left. And I worry that Cam Newton's days as the running around, making plays, Allen football player are behind him now. And
me
he's
too.
Just standing in the pocket making throws. And when he's standing in the pocket making throws, he's the 19th to 20th best quarterback in the league.
And that's where I'm at. So for me, what's the point of signing Cam Newton? It's not to, hey, let's see if he can compete against our youngster. The point of signing Cam Newton is we're signing Cam Newton to start and play football for us. I'm not interested in that gamble. Again, I like him as a player, I think, more than maybe a lot of people do. But I just worry about those injuries. I mean, that's the part of it that I can't kind of get past. You've lost the element of your skill set that made you special, right? If you just, as you said, make him a drop-back passer in you know, this offensive system, I'm not that excited about that, to be frank with you. But if you're looking for culture establishment, you're looking for, let's be honest with each other, you can come and compete and really, you know, help mentor the young kid. Maybe, but I don't think you sign a former MVP. I don't think you sign a guy that's been to a Super Bowl, that's, you know, with the number one overall pick, the Heisman Trophy, and everything that came with him, to just sort of be in the quarterback room, right? You would sign Cam Newton to be your starter. There's not as much upside in that business for me anymore, so I'm passing.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We can come back and gauge your interest a little bit later on today in Cam Newton at quarterback for the Redskins. Again, we just kind of rolled past it yesterday and said, no, this doesn't make any sense. Financially, these numbers wouldn't work. But the latest is if the Panthers don't trade him, and there are some teams I guess they've talked to, like the Bears, that they would just cut him. And then if you don't have to inherit a contract that'll pay him over $20 million against your cap next year.
It's more intriguing.
And you can actually sign him to a show-me type deal. Yeah, now all of a sudden it's worth at least discussing. But I would rather give Dwayne Haskins a full season with this staff and see what you've got in him at the end of next year than bring in Cam Newton. There are options I would take over just pushing forward and not making a change at quarterback, like Joe Burrow, if somehow you were able to draft him at number two. Or there are other things, you know, that may come up, but this is not one of those things. Mm-hmm. To me, Cam Newton is not the type of guy you navigate away from your plan for. But we'll see. If the Redskins end up getting interested, I would basically laugh this off as just funny season rumor stuff if Rivera's not your coach and they weren't basically building Panthers north.
Exactly. If this wasn't, as you said, you know, basically the just move your stuff up 95, call Metropolitan Moving and Storage. They'll come pick you up and pack all your stuff and make this Carolina North. There, that connection makes it a reasonable discussion, I think.
On Twitter at Grant H. Paulson, we finally got a close vote, Danny. Oh. Watching the news and snacking are being left in the rearview mirror. Netflix and video gaming, both over 40% of the vote, neck and neck in the first 660 votes. Today's non-sports poll of day to keep the doctor away. Best way to occupy your time at night at home during the coronavirus. Go vote at Grant H. Paulson. You're listening to G&D on 106.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.